Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast, continuing the new head coach Q&A series. We have new Lafayette head coach Pat Myers. Coach Myers, you know, you're in the middle of fall ball right now. Just how's everything going, and how's the start of fall for you been?
Yeah, well, first, Matt, thanks for having me. Really excited to be on. Grateful for the opportunity. Certainly, yeah, right in the fray right now. We're in our third week of fall ball. Our guys just had fall break, which was, I think, a nice a needed break for the men. But our guys are working extremely hard and really rolling up their sleeves and trying to take it one day at a time, which I've been very proud of them for that. The staff has really embraced these guys and vice versa, and we're attacking each day together, and I think it's just exciting to kind of be living in the moment and worry about hitting that field every day and work as hard as we can to see where we can go by the end of the fall and kind of transition that back into the off season. So everything's going well, staying healthy so far, and enjoying each day.
This opportunity to lead the Lafayette men's lacrosse program, you know, hired this summer, and just overall, what drew you to this job opportunity, and just how excited are you to kind of start this next phase of your career as a head coach?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm extremely excited about about the direction of this program. I think the initial draw, certainly when you hear the name Lafayette, you immediately think about the academic cachet that it has, and it's one of the best academic institutions in the country. But being an Ohio State grad, and people have certainly heard me say this around here and talked about in my interview, that you win with people. And Sherita Freeman, the athletic director here, had reached out to me, and we had known each other, had a previous relationship for 2 years at UPenn, where she was an assistant athletic director. And when I came up to look at the school and meet with folks here, I not only fell in love with the campus and the facilities, but the people involved with the program, starting with her and her vision for Lafayette lacrosse, and what it being very realistic about where it is right now, but at the same time saying here's where I know we can be, and that she has a passion for helping lacrosse compete at a championship level here. And so I think anytime you take any job, you want to work for and with great people, and when you combine that with the opportunity to be a head coach, and when you share your vision with a group of people and they're very excited about that and embracing that, it seemed like a great marriage, and it certainly has not disappointed. So incredible opportunity for sure. But the people here, and I would also say, Matt, there's no doubt that they've had some good times here at Lafayette, but there has been certainly a lack of competitive success overall, and that definitely drew me to this. I've always been somebody that's been drawn to challenges. I went to Ohio State in 1999 as part of the first ever scholarship class there, and we were not in a great spot as a program. Joe Bresci took over and really energized the program and reinvigorated it, and as scholarships came in, I took a chance on a coach and a program that was in the building process. And, our senior year, we went to the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history. And so I've always been drawn to that kind of that process, that building process, and, being able to put your mark on something and, being at the bottom of the mountain and taking that journey and climbing that mountain with people that you believe in and that believe in you is something that I felt like I could do here. So that's largely what drew me here, in addition to all the great things that the college itself has to offer.
There certainly are a lot of challenges, but a lot of opportunities that the Patriot League provides. It's one of those conferences that has tremendous academic opportunities for the student athletes, but also tremendous competitive opportunities. But, you know, what is kind of step one for you, you know, in kind of this, you know, challenges you have to overcome? What were some of those first steps that you had to tackle in order to kind of be as successful as you can be short and long term?
Well, I think step one is hiring and, you know, as I said before, winning with great people is hiring in an incredible staff, which I've, you know, been fortunate and feel very blessed to have three great men here with me in Judd Hall, Scott Beda, and Ian Moore, guys that are committed to this process, committed to this college, and committed to these kids. And, you know, obviously with the alums, you know, engaging them, and I think as a passionate alumni base as I've been around here at Lafayette, you know, there are certainly people that are very excited to help us become a winner in all facets, but there are definitely alums that have a little bit of that scar tissue there that, you know, are weary of that kind of way it's been type of mentality. And I think really engaging the alumni and getting them fired up and getting them kind of back on board with the new vision and clarity in what the mission is going to be, and really building belief across the board in the program from the alumni and into that locker room with our own players and that who we can be. And if we work hard and really attack this thing, that, you know, at a certain point in time, we're going to, you know, be able to beat and compete with anybody in the country. As I told the guys in our first team meeting, you know, there's no magic pill here. I don't have any magic fairy dust that we're just going to sprinkle in this room and we're going to go from 0-8 in the league to 8-0 in the league. That, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to take all the people involved, from support staff to alumni to the players, in terms of rolling up the sleeves and being on board with, you know, doing what it's going to take to overcome some of those challenges. And, you know, the age-old kind of quote, I had it on the board in our first team meeting, of strategy doesn't produce results, people do. And that it's about the people in the room and bonding together and building a brotherhood and working every day to climb that mountain.
How has been the process for you of kind of identifying those key leaders and influencers on your own team? And how did you go to the process of maybe finding those out and developing them and reaching out to them early in the process?
Yeah, that's a good question, Matt. I reached out to every kid on the team, spoke to them all, certainly had, you know, conversations that varied from kid to kid in terms of, you know, where they thought the program was and what we needed to do. But we came in with a blank slate and kind of a, you know, starting from scratch type mentality. And, you know, we haven't named captains. We haven't voted on a leadership council yet. I think we wanted to really lay the groundwork and let leaders start to emerge through the new environment that we've created, and really see who kind of takes to that and who really grabs the bull by the horn. So, you know, we've let our seniors lead from day one. We've guided them. We meet with them every Monday and really provide them with insights and collect feedback from them on how the team is doing. And so really that's the approach we've taken, is a collective group mentality. Is everybody in that locker room needs to be a leader right now. We're not in a position where we can just anoint one or two people or three or four people or even a group of people. And we need everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. And hopefully from that, we can start to identify leaders. But we're still right in the thick of that process, to be perfectly honest with you.
You said the word "the environment that we're in." Can you kind of describe that environment? Just put me, you know, in the shoes of a Lafayette lacrosse player, and kind of what a practice might be like, and what the expectations are from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think, you know, this is a team that has wounds, Matt. You know, they had a tragedy in the program last year, and that's certainly something that we've discussed. And, you know, they haven't had a lot of competitive success, and so I think this is a group of kids that, you know, they're on their third head coach for the seniors and the juniors in the last 3 years, and so I think creating belief, like I said, and a mindset of guys, here's how we're going to work to become the best version of ourselves by working hard, by creating a level of toughness, and by building a brotherhood.
And we talk about hard work, toughness, and brotherhood. And we've defined hard work as, you know, just uncommon, relentless effort. And doing things that are uncommon might be extra work on the weekends or extra work in the afternoon or extra film or, any aspect of their life, just giving that extra effort. The toughness piece, we talk a lot about, you know, being comfortable, being uncomfortable. I think these guys are learning how to be uncomfortable in a lot of different phases of their life, from community service to challenging themselves academically and certainly on the lacrosse field, in terms of what a practice looks like. And certainly the brotherhood is the we over me piece. And so when we talk about an actual practice and what that, you know, looks like, Matt, it's really about, you know, building and working on those cultural building blocks and that blueprint, if you will, of how hard we play. It's not about the X's and O's. It's not about, you know, where we are in a certain set or our alignment on defense. Those things are extremely important, and we're coaching the heck out of them. But at the end of the day, it's about are we diving for end lines? You know, are we picking up ground balls? How are we speaking to each other? Are we staying positive? Are we encouraging? Are we leading? And I think all those things are the things that they know we're evaluating on a daily basis. And collectively, we're trying to build the belief in this program that we can do this thing together.
All of the things you're talking about with culture building, I'm sure you've picked up pieces of all of this along the way in your career as a player and then as a coach. You know, you've played for some tremendous people, some tremendous mentors, some tremendous coaches, you know, most recently at the University of Pennsylvania. But who are some of the people who maybe shaped your outlook on what it's like to be a head coach and some of the things that you're doing there?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to work for, you know, some head coaches that have, and every one of them has impacted me in a positive way and in a different way. And I would say all of them collectively, Matt, I'm grateful to every single one of them for, you know, not just being a great head coach and teaching me, the lacrosse side of things, but really helping me to understand, you know, how to be good husbands, how to be good fathers along the way. Those are all things that I picked up from, Joe Bresci, who was my coach as a player, to Jeff Tambroni, who's a very good friend of mine, and really taught me, you know, the value of professionalism and what a first-class program looks like and how it's run. Moving on to Coach Federaca Bucknell, just an incredible family man, and the way he, you know, incorporated his family into the program and the balance of work and family and relationships. And he kind of looked at the game through a different lens, was very innovative, doing more with less type of mentality. And I mentioned Coach Bresci. I mean, I'm forever indebted to him for recruiting me at Ohio State and then bringing me down to North Carolina. And certainly he's one of the most caring, you know, people that I've been around in terms of the way he, cares about the people, not just in the locker room, his staff, the support staff, the way he treats people, all those sort of things that go into building an incredible culture and environment that's built on, great relationships and certainly Coach Murphy at Penn, in terms of the way he goes about things, and his work ethic is tremendous, and he exudes that, and has a really, tough sort of mindset that emanates through the program. So I think when you combine all those things, I've been able to take a lot of that, hopefully, into my own approach. And, you know, then I, of course, I have a brother who I lean on, who's a head coach, who at the end of the day is, if I had to identify a mentor, all those people for sure. And Nick is probably at the top of that list in terms of providing insight. And I think most importantly, Matt, is I think any good coach would tell you they need somebody that tells you the truth and that can be honest with you and can tell you when you're wrong and tell you when they think you need to make some changes, and you know, but also tell you when they think you're doing a great job and when you're doing things right. And certainly Nick has been that for me. So I've been fortunate to have all those people contribute to my thoughts, my vision, and kind of who I am and who I want to continue to be as a head coach.
Yeah, when you were saying, you know, one of the key things is not just to teach you how to be a good coach, but how to, you know, be a good husband, good father. I remember visiting Ohio State and talking to your brother, and one of the things that really stood out to me was his emphasis on family time, you know, as a cornerstone of what he does as a head coach. So I'm sure that's rubbed off in some way. How is that relationship like in terms of, do you guys, you know, call each other on a weekly basis? Is it more informal in terms of the actual head coaching? Can you just kind of shed some more light on that relationship a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, no, I think it's a special one. We're both, I think, very fortunate to have each other to lean on as a head coach. When I'm an assistant, I can give Nick maybe an assistant's point of view. And when I was an assistant, he could give me a head coach's point of view. And we really balance each other out that way. And I think now as a head coach, certainly we can help each other out. But we talk every day. You know, we talk about family. We talk about, you know, where we want to go on vacation together. We talk about recruits. We certainly talk about lacrosse. We talk about everything. So I think it's a relationship that we both value tremendously in terms of just having that confidant and that somebody that you can lean on. That, like you said, like I said, there's no agenda, and they're just going to tell you the truth and can really share honest thoughts with you. And, you know, the emphasis on family is there. And Nick, you know, reminds me, and I remind him when we feel like we're kind of both maybe, you know, getting a little overworked or whatever the case might be, to, hey, man, you know, just at the end of the day, make sure you take care of the most important person in your life, which is your wife, which is absolute truth. And I think the fact of the matter is, and any coach would tell you, that they wouldn't be where they are without a tremendous wife who's, if you're a coach, that is supporting you and, you know, encouraging you and, again, telling you the truth and telling you when you're wrong and when you're right. And I think that's really important. We can both remind each other how important that is, and to really kind of keep your attention where it needs to be.
Two guys from Maine, now elite coaches in Division I men's lacrosse. What's up with the Myers DNA?
Yeah, I don't... you're kind to say elite. I think you could probably give my brother that tag, but you know, I'm just grateful to you know, have an opportunity. And you know, I've dreamt about being a head coach for a long time, and I don't take it for granted, you know, walking in that room every day with the guys and what that means in terms of how they view you and the impact and touch points that you have on their life along with your staff. And you know, certainly have known I wanted to coach for a long time, back to my father being an educator and certainly my stepfather being a high school lacrosse coach, introduced the game to Nick and I. And so we both fell in love with the game at a young age, and certainly have both fallen in love with coaching.
One of the things that I think when people hear your name, you know, they associate you with some tremendous recruiting over the years as an assistant coach. Two-part question: what is it that you look for in a potential student athlete? And then the second part of that is, what does Lafayette offer to a student athlete that's kind of part of your recruiting pitch to these young men that you're talking to?
Yeah, so the first part of that question, I think that the simple answer is, you know, great person, great student, great lacrosse player at a school like Lafayette, for sure, but really anywhere. I mean, those are the things you look for. And I've always fallen back on Anson Dorrance, who's the women's soccer coach at North Carolina and has won, you know, 20-plus national championships. I remember him talking about when I was there, you know, what he looks for when he's recruiting female athletes, and he talks about self-belief, self-discipline, and competitive fire. And, you know, so he's looking to check those boxes of self-belief, self-discipline, competitive fire. And if you have two out of the three, he'll recruit you. And if you don't, then he won't. And, you know, competitive fire is the one that he's not going to relent on. And so I've always kind of carried that with me when you're trying to evaluate the way a kid plays, the way he carries himself, the way he acts when he's on campus. Certainly it comes out in his play, the way he manages his academic workload. You're looking for that competitive fire and somebody who believes in themselves. And I think as you transition that into Lafayette, I think somebody that, you know, is excited about building something, somebody that's excited about, that has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and knows that this is going to take a lot of hard work. I think Lafayette offers one of the best academic situations in the country. It's a top 30 liberal arts school with the ninth best engineering program, which is pretty unique to combine those two things. Geographically, it's halfway between New York City and Philadelphia, and offers a beautiful campus with beautiful facilities and an opportunity to be in an environment with small class sizes, but have an opportunity to play in an incredible league and help put a program on the map that, it's a great time to start that journey and prove people wrong if you have that kind of hunger and chip on your shoulder.
Looking on the field, you know, you have some scrimmages coming up, the Headstrong event that's going to be held near Philadelphia. You guys are going to be scrimmaging. What are you going to kind of look for from your team when they're playing someone else with a different color jersey?
Yeah, that's an easy one. Just playing hard, you know, playing like leopards. We talk about leopard, you know, leopard plays and playing like a leopard, and what that looks like, and, you know, defining for our guys what that looks like. We talk about it every day. We show them clips in the film room of what it is exactly that we're looking for from a cultural standpoint. And so I think, you know, when we, you know, take the field against somebody else, just a team that's hungry and that plays hard and ideally plays, you know, hard and fast, and can make good decisions. But just ultimately a team that has one speed and plays as hard as they possibly can, supports each other and can have some fun while doing it.
You've discussed a lot of the cultural things that you're looking for. When you kind of just think of this team on the field, have you even thought of yet or haven't determined yet what you want this team to look like, you know, from more of a schematic perspective in terms of the product on the field that Lafayette's putting out?
Yeah, a little bit, Matt. You know, we're still getting used to the new rules, like everybody around the country, with the shot clock, and at the same time getting used to a whole new, you know, program, as, you know, they're getting used to new practice plans and new coaches. And so there's a lot of new right now. So we're still sorting things out schematically. We're just taking it one step at a time. We've really focused on fundamentals in terms of, you know, being a disciplined lacrosse team that can play fast, but that can make great decisions and play together and play hard. And we're going to keep our scheme simple so that our guys can really play hard between the lines. But we haven't gotten too far down the line in terms of exactly what we're going to look like there.
What has it been like for you coaching the new rules and kind of experimenting with the shot clock, and how much have the players really embraced that?
Yeah, it's been good. We enjoy it, you know. It definitely is a bit of an adjustment. It's not a massive adjustment. It definitely speeds you up a little bit. I think forces you to play faster without the ball, for sure. And you certainly can't take your time, you know, clearing or in the subbing game. And I think that's a good thing. I think it kind of does a little bit of the coaching for you, the clock in that regard, and everybody knows kind of where they stand with the timing of everything. And I think the players really like it too. I think the key is, in having met with several people about the shot clock, including pro coaches, and when you talk to people, it's, you know, you got to let the players make decisions and teach them Monday through Friday how to make decisions at a fast rate of speed and train them to do that so that they can make those decisions on game day. And so I think our players have really enjoyed the speed of play in practice.
Looking ahead a little bit to 2019, the Patriot League it's a behemoth. It's a huge league, and week in, week out, you know, some of the toughest, most physical games in the country. But the process of building a schedule, what can you tell us a little bit about your outlook for 2019 in that regard?
Yeah, it's a daunting task, no doubt. The Patriot League is one of the best, top couple leagues in the country for lacrosse. And, You know, there's certainly it's a league that recently Loyola has dominated, and you know every team, every game in the league is a game that you look at, and if it was an out of conference game, you'd circle that and say, wow, that's a big game. With Army, Navy, Lehigh, BU, you know, Holy Cross, Bucknell, Colgate, Loyola, right down the chute. So we know we have our hands full in the league, and great coaches, great players. We've tried to supplement that with some out of conference. We're opening with Rutgers on February 2nd. We've added UMBC as well as several other very good games. We're going to be scrimmaging Penn State on January 19th. So we're definitely going to challenge our guys. There's no doubt. Our guys are excited about it. They know they have their work cut out for them, we play in an extremely competitive league.
My last question for you is just becoming a head coach. What maybe has been one of the most surprising aspects of this kind of leap and transition for you?
Yeah, I think there's just always things that you don't expect. I think throughout the course of a day or a week, things that pop up that, you know, are kind of curveballs that you, you know, didn't really deal with maybe on a daily basis as an assistant coach, that, you know, kind of pop up here and there. And I think, you know, if you learn how to manage your time as an assistant, then you're hopefully equipped and prepared to handle those, you know, as a head coach. But I think getting pulled in many, many different directions, Matt, is something that is I'm still getting used to. It's like I said, it's a joy. I love every day. I love coming to work every day. I love the people I work with. Love the guys. But, you know, you want to be able to spend as much time as you can actually on your craft, whereas, you know, 90% of your time is spent doing other things. So just getting used to that still a little bit. And not that that's something I didn't expect, but still a bit of an adjustment, I would say.
Coach Myers, I appreciate the time. And we will see you guys at the Headstrong event in just a few weeks and then moving forward into 2019.
Yeah, fired up. Grateful again to be on. Matt, I appreciate you having me, and looking forward to seeing you next weekend at the Headstrong event.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.